1 Thessalonians, and we'll be reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Cassia, can you read that?
Oh my gosh.
Silvanus.
Silvanus. And Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
So Silvanus, he also goes by Civilis. You know, there's a Greek name. A lot of times back then is that they would have not a Greek and Roman name, but a Greek and a Jewish name. So this is his Jewish name, but he also goes by, it's S-I-L-A-S, Silas. But a little quick historic background. So we're just getting Thessalonians. They say, the scholars have figured out that this is actually would be Paul's first letter to a church. His first letter he's written. So one might ask, so why are there so many different letters to churches in the Bible before this one? So in the New Testament, the letters to churches are to individuals for some reason, don't know why, or I couldn't find out why, but they put it in the Bible longest to shortest. Just the way they did it. Now, also, back in the day, and also as far as the Eastern culture, it's kind of different than Western culture. You know, as far as, you know, how...
Never would have guessed it.
You know, it's kind of like how we read books. You know, we read left to right. They read right to left. It just seems kind of crazy. Have you ever seen those? Actually, it's been a couple months, but there's like these Japanese comic books, but they're backwards. Well, I say they're backwards.
Yes, they are backwards.
They are backwards. It's how we're wired or our brain works. It's just not right. So that's our Western culture in us. Eastern culture is, the important thing is this happened. Not so much of this happened, and then this happened, and this happened. But as Western culture is that sometimes we could be very
wild.
I was thinking OCD.
We like to put everybody in boxes.
Okay. I see that. But yeah, as far as my daughter's growing up and she has to have everything square on her desk, like at school or in front of her. Everything has to be in right angles. Don't know why. I'm not that way. I'm very messy, and so I could have things angled. Huh? Right. But so that's very OCD. I that sidewalk clean. I don't know. It's just something I want to do. But their culture is that this happened. That's the important thing. No takeaway. It doesn't have to be in order. It doesn't have to be alphabetical order. Some people are very OCD to be out alphabetical order, too. Now, also, like the book of Acts. So that's one book. So these letters happen during that same time. So you don't take a book and, let's separate these chapters and insert these pages. You know, that's changing the book. So there's the book, and then these letters, they just happen to happen at the same time. So that's why things aren't necessarily in order. They have an order, but not an order, chronological order, in the Bible. But we see Paul and his friends, right? Paul and his friends, in Paul's second ministry trip, you know, Paul was in there. He's going on his ministry trip, and he's planning on going east to Asia. That's his plan. And then he sleeps, and he has this vision. This vision tells him to go west to Europe. So he follows the vision, right? He follows what God's telling him. They stop in Philippi, and they have some success, and then they get thrown in prison, right? There's miracles happen, no doubt. Miracles happen. Yet, after they were released, they were forced out of town. Why did they go to prison? Because they're preaching and what the magistrate, or they were causing an uproar or turning the world upside down. That's what the phrase were. You know, people didn't like. The next city is Thessalonica, and they had pretty good success, right? People were changing their hearts. They were receiving the message. But at that same time, there's a large group of people what did not like change, just like in Philippi. They didn't like change, and they didn't like the fact that change was happening. So they formed an angry mob, and they ran Paul out of town. Seems like the thing to do. It's just a common, yeah. So next town they reach is Berea. And again, they were having some success, but those same guys from Thessalonica, they heard about it. They're like, oh no, this is not happening on my watch. So they go down to Berea and run Paul out of town again. So now he's going to Athens. So in Athens, there's a lot of people what really cater or think they're really intelligent and they want to hear things. So the response was so-so. They like hearing a new side of it, but you know, some people. So Paul left there and he went to Corinth after that. And by the time he gets to Corinth, Paul is tired. He's weak and he's wondering if he saw that vision right. And around that time, Paul got word back from the church, what was happening in the church to Thessalonians, and it prompted this letter. So Paul starts this letter. He starts out, who it's from. And that's typical of the day, you know, because if you want to know, if you want to find out, if you want to read this letter, you need to know who it's from. You know, if you don't like that guy, you're not going to read the letter. But he says, grace and peace be with you, right? You know, they go hand in hand. Grace is undeserved favor and blessing, right? Peace is knowing that God will never forget us, will never forsake us, and he always has grace on us. So they go hand in hand. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Lily, can you read that?
We give all thanks to God always for you all making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father.
So Paul gives thanks for them. Right? He's praying for them, and he's thanking God for them. Not because they're perfect, as we'll see, that they're not perfect. Not because they don't have questions. Not because they don't have problems. He gives thanks to them because last time he was in their city, there was an angry mob against Christians. Last time he was there, he got beat up and ran out of town. Last time he was there, people were using threats and violence to stop Christianity. Paul gives thanks to them because they were standing strong against adversity. You know, they were being an example in for others. at a time when Paul was down, you know, he was feeling down, they lifted him up. Because of their example, he knew that his labor was not in vain. That he wasn't just doing this for nothing. Change can be hard. You know, not fold at the first sign of trouble. Hearing about something that, or someone that is going through something similar, it could lift us up, right? Because if we know somebody's gone through it and has beaten it, it gives us strength to know, you know, what we could do it too. You know, it helps during those times. Now, faith, love, and hope. You know, we'll hear this throughout the Bible, right? Tells us that these virtues is these we need to hold on to. You know, their faith produced works. In James chapter 2, verse 18, Arian. Sorry. I don't know. So do you see the difference? There's a difference there. You know, we cannot work our way to heaven. The Bible is very clear on this. However, if we have faith in Jesus, that faith is going to produce good works. It just does, right? So it's kind of an evil desire. That evil desires don't produce bad works. We can tell what kind of tree it is by its fruit. He uses that correlation a lot. So if an apple tree doesn't produce an apple, do we really know it's an apple tree? It just looks like a tree, right? That's the same thing with if you have faith, but you're not actually doing anything. I don't know, you know, your faith isn't strong, or you need to be stronger in your faith. Because faith will just automatically, if you're following along, it's going to produce fruit. The Thessalonians, their love produces labor. Now, labor and work sounds a lot alike, right? Because we go to work and we labor. But there's a little bit of difference. Works is what we do, and labor is that you put in effort to the point of fatigue. You're putting in effort. Serving others in the midst of persecution. You know, following Jesus' example on how he was persecuted, yet he still loved. Right? Helping others, not thinking of the inconvenience are the cost, you're just helping others. You know, it doesn't matter that it could be a strain or you have to put effort in. Now, their hope, what did their hope produce? Canoa, do you know? Oh, I thought you had your hand up. So what did their hope produce? If love produced labor, faith produced works, anybody remember? We could put the verse back up there.
Hope produces faith.
Huh? Hope produces faith. But in this case, what I'm looking for is, can you put Thessalonians 4, oh wait, was it 2 and 3? 1 Thessalonians 2 and 3 is the second verse. No, the next one. So what is hope produce? Patience of hope, right? Just like work and faith. Faith produces works, and love produces labor. So patience. It is worded a little weird. I mean, don't beat yourself up. So their hope, as our hope should be, is in Jesus, right? In his promises, in the focus that he will return and keep those promises. That's why it's patience, because they're hoping for his return, right? For his promises. And that, it's not on our timing, but his timing. So it produces patience. All three of these virtues, faith, hope, the object there is Jesus, right? The Thessalonians kept their focus on Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 4 and 5. Kanoa?
Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake.
So Paul came to Thessalonica, right, with a new message, one that most of them are 90%, 99% have never heard of, right? It got people fired up. Some of them were fired up for Jesus, others were fired up against Jesus. So much that people wanted to kill him, wanted to get rid of him. At that same time, he planted a church, right? This church so strong of what Paul taught him that would last well long past him being run out of town. So, anybody can imagine how long did Paul have to labor to make that happen? Huh? A year. Anybody else?
A month.
Huh?
Like 9 months.
9 months. Like a pregnancy. Sorry. I don't know. That's where my head goes. Anybody else? Guesses? All right. We'll go with those. 9 months to a year, right? So Paul typically went to the synagogue to preach once he got into town. He was there 3 Sabbaths, so 3 Saturdays. So 3 teachings, and then Paul was ran out of town. Depending on where you start the week, but yeah, or 3 weeks, depending on where you start the week, right? Tells the Thessalonians that it wasn't by chance. God chose them. You know, this was a Gentile city, right? They worshiped idols. Idols were everywhere. There was sexual immorality all over the place. It was running rampant. And yet, God elected them to be chosen. It was God's vision that sent Paul there in the first place. And it was God's power that only after 3 teachings, 3 days, if you will, that they still have a heart for Jesus. God was by his power, not Paul, but it was on his power. He tells them, you know how, where you guys came from. You guys were worshiping idols. Then all of a sudden, you change. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 6 and 7. And I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm horrible, horrible with names. I don't know why. They say you're supposed to repeat the name 4 times when you meet somebody. Have you ever heard that? 4 or 5 times? Yeah, you're supposed to. But I completely forgot your name. Do you feel like reading? Or no? No? All right. Stephen, can you read that? Those are old names for Greek, the Greek province. So the word was spreading, right? They were being an example for those around them. So who here has ever been to a movie theater during the day? Right? You know, you go in, and then you come out, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's so bright. It kind of gets disoriented, right? It's like, is it still daylight? I thought it was nighttime. You know, it takes a second to focus. Imagine people were sitting in the dark even for a longer period of time. You know, they might actually need help. They might need an example if they were in the dark so long. Once they've seen the light, they might see an example of what to do. You know, something to follow. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Cassia? So don't let your faith be hidden. Don't hide that. Be a good and loving example that has hope in Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 8 and 9, Lily?
Macedonia and
Achaia. So typically, if you're visiting a town, especially a small town, as you can notice it in a small town, but restaurants that the locals go to usually are the best restaurants. I've been places where it's like, really? But typically that happens, right? We all follow examples all the time. You know, the word of mouth spreads. In most cases, bad press is not good, right? Just like the example thing or the restaurant thing is, you know, if a whole bunch of people start saying, oh, that's horrible, people stop going. Again, especially in small towns, word spreads very fast. Or in high school, word spreads very fast, right? Now, people at that time were getting very tired of dead idols, right? And they had no power. And they were beginning to realize this, like, this is pointless. We're looking for something better. You know, then they heard about the Thessalonians. You know, if they could have grace and peace, then maybe, just maybe, I can too. Right? So their good example was spreading and letting others know, you know what, hey, there's something better. And you could do it. There's persecution, yeah, but you could stand strong just like the Thessalonians are doing. Verse 10 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Arian? So the hope is in Jesus, right? He had the power to save himself, and he has the power to save us. Jesus promised whoever believes in him will escape wrath and judgment that is coming. You know, that's where they had their hope. And then Stephen just went to the restroom. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. In
Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in the world, in conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading the exhortation to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying of the hands of the eldership.
Yeah, no, you're good. You read past. But that is good. So I know this passage talks about youth, so don't let anybody put down on you because you're young. You know, be that good example people talk about. You know, make them see God's love that's in you and that they can have, if only a decision. You know, let it be in words that we say, right? Let it be in our conduct, what we do, in the love that we show, in have the spirit we follow, in the purity, the cleanliness of our action, in our thoughts. I'll go ahead and close this in prayer. Thank you.